My next guest, Sally Iddles, is not only an established private chef with over 20 years' experience, but is also putting a creative hat on to help adapt to what has become the new normal since lockdown. Morning, Sally.
Morning.
Firstly, I've got to ask, how are you?
Yeah, we're good. I'm enjoying some extra time in the garden I'd normally not have this time of the year. So got to be grateful for small mercies.
Yeah, I have to say there are a few silver linings there, isn't there? Kind of being able to reconnect with things we probably haven't usually got time to do.
Yeah, I still seem to have quite a large to-do list, but it's nice to just have a bit more free time during the day. So, yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, I'm going to ask you, first of all, if we can just kind of roll back. So you've got over 20 years experience. You've done a lot in your career. So can you tell me just a little bit of some of the key highlights that have basically taken to where you are today?
I suppose if I look back, I think the private dining has always been quite a thrill because you're never quite sure who might end up calling you or you might be asked to do something. So over the years, certainly when I first started out and we were still in London, I did used to get a few calls from quite high profile clients to go and do, it might only be a small dinner for six or eight. But you know, it was always quite fun to do, and there were often people, you know, in the public eye or whatever. So it was always quite nice to do those. They were quite a thrill. Although I did always love my restaurant work, which is what I've done as well. So yeah, that's certainly one of the highlights, I suppose, is just having quite a nice relationship with some people that, as I say, that are in the public eye. It's always quite rewarding to get to know them properly.
Yeah, I bet it must be quite interesting to see the different side of certain people.
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah, but it's fun, and you know, the pressure's always on, isn't it, when you're, you know, the buck stops with you, and whether you're cooking for 150 or five people, I mean, the pressure is still, you know, you've got to deliver it, haven't you? So safely and obviously to a good standard.
So am I right in that you moved to Surrey around 2007 2008?
Yeah, we moved to Surrey 2007. We were in West London before that, and I'd been working with Sainsbury's, Waitrose, doing some food consultancy and as private dining. And when I moved to Surrey, I became much more involved with the wedding industry. So for the last 10, 12 years, I've been much more in the events industry, which has obviously been fantastic. My sister happens to own a venue which is just south of Guildford, and we're very close by, so I've been very involved with that for the last, well, certainly 10-11 years, and that's been quite fun as that's evolved. Sort of overnight I became an event caterer, wedding caterer, whereas before I'd done much more restaurant style work, retail, as I mentioned before. So it was quite a shift and quite a steep learning curve. But I think it's fair to say that over the last 10 years, the wedding industry has completely morphed into a whole massive events industry that's unrecognisable where we were 10 years ago, with things like Instagram, Pinterest, everything being accessible online, lots of entrepreneurial businesses. It's changed massively, yeah.
Yeah, sure. And actually, I suppose in this current pandemic as well, it's been kind of a bit of a lifesaver, actually, having all these kind of digital and social media channels to kind of still keep people connected.
Yeah, obviously, we can't host any events at the moment. Obviously, that all came to a halt. I think we could see the writing on the wall sort of mid-March. And I've taken one call today from a client, actually, who's getting married on the 1st of August about moving them a year ahead. So and those are the types of, that's what's taking up a lot of my day, is actually just jiggling the diary and moving things around. And obviously the closer you get to the date, then, you know, decisions have to be made, and I sort of leave it to the client and the venue, because that's the most important thing really, that they have to reorganize. And then obviously catering, photographers, all the other things that come in with it, florists. So it's a lot of work for the wedding couples, I'd say, actually, more so than the venues or the caterers or whatever. So I really feel for those people that are meant to be celebrating their wedding or big milestone birthday or whatever it is, you know, it can't go ahead.
No, I mean, actually, we were planning to get married this year ourselves, actually, and luckily we hadn't booked anything, but yeah, we're not sure. We'll see how it goes, but I think, seeing
what's going on, certainly in the restaurant side, which my husband's involved with, and lots of our friends, and how it's all panning out, it's looking unlikely there's going to be big events happening probably for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think, and this is where I think, a lot of the businesses are having to adapt and kind of change themselves to kind of hopefully survive this. Can I ask, I mean, obviously, none of us have been in this situation before, but there have been kind of crises, haven't there, in the food industry and stuff. So have you kind of found that through your career that there have been times when you've had to kind of adapt very fast and kind of not in this kind of capacity, but perhaps
not as global as this, but I certainly remember when I was with Waitrose, if I'm allowed to mention their name, and that was on the retail side, that we had the egg scare, salmonella in eggs, and greener curry, that will never be forgotten. And people just stopped buying eggs, so the whole supply chain, it's always the supply chain that obviously has to react quicker than the retailers, because obviously you've got to stop the breaks or whatever, or ramp it up as it is with flour at the moment. And then I've seen the BSE crisis, where beef on the bone was banned for about 4 years. That was sort of in the early 90s, mid-90s maybe. I'd have to check my facts on that. But I remember coming, when we were served, we couldn't serve beef on the bone for years. And certainly when I was doing all my private dining in London then, everyone was very cautious because they thought it could be transferred from the bone marrow into meat or the spinal cord or something. So, we weren't allowed to serve beef on the bone. So I've seen a few crises in my time, but obviously this one has got such a massive impact, not just for the food industry, obviously for many other businesses. In fact, there's not many industries that aren't affected by this in one way or another, if any. So, I think this is something unforeseen completely. I mean, we have our food safety standards and the agencies and everything involved with keeping our food safe, and it's probably the safest it's ever been right now. But obviously, in terms of, when you have a public pandemic as such as this, it's a completely different ball game.
So tell me a little bit about, so it's been, what is it, for quite a lot of people around sort of 7-8 weeks now in lockdown. Mm-hmm. How has life changed for you and your business in that time? And how do you foresee things moving forward as well? How are you adapting and changing?
So to answer your first question, I mean, things have changed in terms of just the reorganisation. And we've obviously had a few, online chats with our clients for this year's events, moving them. So some have moved to sort of later in the year. And I can see that we're going to probably have to go back and review that again. In terms of going forward, there's hardly any new inquiries at the moment. I haven't had many anyway. So I don't know. I run a series of supper clubs called The Conversational Diner with a couple of friends. One does styling and one just helps me in the kitchen. And of course, we've had to pull the plug on those. It's held at Secrets, actually, in Milford.
Yeah.
We had a really good year last year there, and then we had obviously had a series of them set up this year, and we've had to stop all that as well. So it's disappointing, but going forward, in terms of so many caterers, festivals, all the festival caterers trucks, not just the established ones that have worked throughout the year, a lot of it is seasonal work for a lot of people in our industry, and I think they need to pivot if it's a massive part of their income. I think the younger businesses, they're not experienced in obviously having to deal with changing the way they look at what they do. So I think if you look at particularly the festival type caterers, they have their truck or caravan or horse box or whatever it is, and they go to a festival and they just are there for 3 or 4 days or one day or however long it is. And I think it's very difficult for them when that is their main source of income in those like 4 or 5 months of the summer. I have worked throughout the year with various things, catering, consultancy, but nothing at the moment because obviously everybody's saying, well, we don't want to do any consultancy because we don't know where we're going to be in 5, 6 months when we're on product development or, you know, the event side. But I've just been looking in the next few weeks because we just thought, well, we just can't do nothing.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes it's not just about the money. It's about, you know, keeping us interested and trying to find a way to pivot so that we can serve our customers in a different way. Whether it's an ordered service or whether it's a monthly meal kit or something like that, you know. So that's what we're working on is looking at the customer and seeing what their need is really. And much as everybody's probably gone through their repertoire of recipes at home, and there's been so much on social media with, you know, the big chefs doing either online kind of tutorials. I mean, you know, sourdough, dare I say the word, everybody's learning how to make sourdough, including me actually. It's not something I would normally do. I normally have some great suppliers that supply me with some fantastic bread, but I thought, well, I might as well just try and crack this off because it's the one thing I haven't really done. So I've got my little starter going and I've had a bit of fun. I got the kids involved, just trying to learn new skills. I mean, keep momentum going, really.
Sure, I totally understand. And just touching a bit back on that, your delivery kind of idea as well. I mean, is that kind of around the sort of Surrey area or just around what kind of where you live? And what sort of, I mean, you're talking kind of like more meal kits and things like that. So,
I don't know. I'm just thinking at lots of the pubs are starting to do takeaways, as well as obviously the established restaurants that have always done takeaways, so they've not had to move their business too far. But it's just trying to find the right product that customers want to use and make sure it's badged with, you know, so it's interesting. I mean, I just got a bit put off by a couple of experiences we'd had, but when I just said I just don't want to cook tonight, just one night, and we got a takeaway from a pub, and it just was, and it was hot, and by the time we got it home, it was not very hot, and I thought, you know, we just need to probably look at this a little bit in a little bit more detail and actually put it in the eyes of the customer. Obviously, if you're working in a commercial kitchen, you've still got to maintain your social distancing. That's very, very hard for businesses with a, you know, the kitchens generally aren't very big in, for example, pubs or even some of the catering companies. It's very difficult when you've only got one washing up sink to have everybody socially distanced. And there would be a lot of protocols that would need to be put in place to keep obviously staff safe, because, you know, that is tantamount in my mind to keep everybody that works for me safe. So I'm a home-based business, so I have my hygiene rating with Guildford Borough Council. And the other people that I work with also have their kitchens registered with either Waverley or Guildford. So we've just been trying to think of ways that we do components between us, because to avoid this mixing of households and families and whatever it is. So I'm actually shielding my mother at the moment because she hurt herself quite badly and dislocated her shoulder. So I've got to protect her. So that meant I didn't want to go and work for anybody else in a combined kitchen, which I could easily have done, and done the Surrey Drive thing or something like that. You know, I could have offered to help that, but I thought, no, then I'm putting myself and my family at risk. So that's been a bit of an extra little thing that I've had to consider. So, yeah, we were just thinking about if we did components and then had literally a passing point that we could, on private property, not, I mean, I don't just mean on the main road.
No.
where we could just do our swap over of you've made that in your registered kitchen, we've made that in our registered kitchen, and then package it up and get it to customers. That's kind of what we're looking at.
It sounds exciting.
And then we've maintained all of our social distancing.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds exciting. And also, you kind of was mentioning earlier on about the kind of the event side of things, but, you know, people having birthdays, I mean, so many birthdays. You don't really realise how many birthdays there are until you're in lockdown. Okay. And it just seems like such a shame, so many people like not being able to celebrate it as well, you know, how they usually would. So perhaps, you know, something where you get a delivery of very good food for a very special occasion at home, maybe. I can definitely see
Well, I was thinking about filling the gaps that nobody else could, because obviously, you know, but we're quite lucky in Surrey and round here that there is quite a lot of improvisation going on, and that's all been fantastic. So it's kind of thinking, well, what could we do it slightly differently? And we haven't finalised it all yet. I mean, there's lots of other logistics, labelling. We've got to fill out extra things with our trade body in terms of due diligence. We've got our masks now, we've got some gloves, and we've got all the PPE that we need to be able to protect the food. None of us obviously have got any symptoms, and obviously if we have, then you can't do it.
Sure. But,
we've got obviously got to be mindful all the way of like, oh crikey, you know, it's just, there's a whole list that's come from our trade body of things that we need to do. So for best practice.
Yeah. Are you finding there's kind of a lot of support around the kind of Surrey area of people that do deal in the same kind of line of work as yourself? Is there kind of like a network of people talking and sharing kind of, you know, things?
Or? Well, I've just been going through our trade body that we're a member of, and that's a national body, and they've had webinars and examples, and, you know, right from the beginning, I have to say, it's been very, very well supported, and they've issued us all our new trading documents that we have to have, you know, not just taking the temperatures of all the things that we do, but cleaning, much more detailed cleaning that we're having to do. And that's the sort of things we'd be showing to the environmental health if they came to inspect. So there's a lot more deep cleaning that's required. So, and that's the same for everybody. That's not just for home kitchens or commercial kitchens. It's for the whole restaurant hospitality industry that is going to start reintroducing, going back to work and opening up their units.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, isn't it? Because all this work, all this effort, and you just don't know how long we're going to be in this situation for. Is it for the rest of the year? Is it longer? Who knows? So,
well, I certainly think at the beginning I thought maybe it'll just be two or three months, and, you know, who knows? But of course, the longer it goes on, the more you realise that, you know, business can't be halted for forever. So there's a very delicate balance, isn't there, between making sure that people have the opportunity to go to work and earn money, you know, for the economy, and obviously keeping the public and your staff safe. That's the whole paradox at the moment, isn't it?
It sure is. Sally, if anyone wants to find out more about you, you have a website, don't you?
I do. SallyAddles.co.uk.
Brilliant stuff. And, you know, thank you so much for giving us here at Radio Woking your story, and, you know, and I just wish you the best of luck for everything that you
Thanks,
do.
Laura. And thank you very much.
And whatever the case, I mean, you have got such a massive skill set and career history that I think, you know, there's plenty of things that you can be doing, isn't there, really, from kind of
consulting online. Yeah, a few little short recipes on Instagram or something, just to sort of keep the momentum going, keep me interested. And that's the key, isn't it? It's just to keep your own motivation. And if you can kind of try and do that, and some days have been harder than others, I'll be completely honest, or some weeks have been harder than others. But, you know, when the sun's shining like it is today and you can get out in the garden, it's just like, thank goodness that, you know, we've got what we've got, and we just have to make the best of it, really.